Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. The Secretary General will preview the NATO summit in Warsaw, and then he will be happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon and happy 4th of July to our American friends. And welcome to all of you to this press conference. This week's NATO summit in Warsaw comes at a defining time for our security, with threats and challenges from many different directions. In response at our last summit in Wales, we laid out plans for the biggest reinforcement of NATO's collective defense since the Cold War. In Warsaw, I will report to heads of state and government that NATO has done what we said we would do. We delivered a faster, a stronger, and a more ready alliance. We now need to take the next steps. So at our summit in Warsaw, we will agree to further enhance our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance. We will deploy 4 robust multinational battalions to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. I welcome Canada's recent announcement that it will lead one of these 4 battalions together with Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States. This is a great contribution to our common security and a clear signal that our nations will defend one another on both sides of the Atlantic. Our collective defense and deterrence includes much more. We will also agree to develop a tailored presence in the southeast based on a multinational brigade in Romania. We will recognize cyberspace as an operational domain alongside air, land, and sea. And I expect that allies will make a cyber defense pledge to strengthen their own networks. This is part of our overall efforts to increase our resilience, both within our nations and collectively. And we will further streamline the flow of civilian and military intelligence through a new intelligence division within NATO headquarters. Helping us to make the right decisions at the right time, and enabling us to better counter modern challenges, including hybrid and terrorist threats. The Warsaw Summit will renew our commitment to spend more on defense and to spend better. Today, we have published the details of allies' defense expenditure for 2015 and updated estimates for 2016. Last year, after a long period of decline, we saw a small increase in overall defense spending by NATO's European allies and Canada. This year, we estimate that it will rise even more. We expect a real increase of 3% in defense spending by European allies and Canada. This amounts to $8 billion. 22 allies will increase defense spending in real terms. Moreover, 18 allies will increase defense expenditures devoted to major equipment and research and development. So we are both spending more and we are spending better. But we have a very long way to go, and we must keep up the momentum. In all our decisions, our aim is to defend our allies, not to increase tensions in Europe. NATO continues to be a responsible, transparent, and predictable actor, and we remain open to dialogue with Russia. The NATO-Russia Council has an important role to play as a forum for dialogue and information exchange to reduce tensions and increase predictability. That is why we are working with Russia to hold another meeting of the Council shortly after the summit, where transparency and risk reduction should be an important topic. Another major theme of the summit will be projecting stability beyond our borders. When our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. NATO can and will do more to support them. We will agree to start training and capacity building inside Iraq, expanding our existing training for Iraqi officers in Jordan. We will decide that NATO AWACS aircraft will provide information to the global coalition to counter ISIL. And I expect we'll agree on a role for NATO in the Central Mediterranean, complementing the European Union's Operation Sophia, and building on our effective cooperation in the Aegean to cut lines of human trafficking. Afghanistan remains our largest operation. President Ghani and Chief Executive Abdullah will join us in Warsaw. We are committed to assisting the Afghan forces to secure their country and to ensure it never again becomes a safe haven for international terrorism. We will continue our resolute support mission beyond 2016, and we will continue our contribution to the funding of the Afghan forces until 2020. We will also demonstrate our support to our partners in the East. We will hold a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission with President Poroshenko. And in an independent, sovereign and stable Ukraine, firmly committed to democracy and the rule of law, is key to Euro-Atlantic security. And NATO is committed to helping Ukraine achieve that goal. We will also continue to boost the defense capacity and resilience of Georgia and the Republic of Moldova, to resist outside pressure and to advance reforms. The European Union is a unique and essential partner for NATO. Now is the time to take our cooperation to a new level. In Warsaw, together with the presidents of the European Council and the European Commission, I will sign a joint declaration on our partnership, setting out new ways we can work more closer together on key areas such as countering hybrid threats and maritime security, because together we are stronger. Our world is changing and NATO is changing with it. What remains unchanged is the unbreakable bond between Europe and North America, on which our alliance is founded. In an age of uncertainty, we need our alliance more than ever for predictability, cooperation, and unity. The decisions we will take at the Warsaw Summit will strengthen our alliance and demonstrate our resolve. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay, we'll start with Berlingske, second row here.
Hi there, Jakob from Danish Daily Berlingske. On the defense expenditure, you say there's been some progress, but there's still a very long way to go. So if we just go back to Wales and the pledges for reaching the 2% in 10 years' time from Wales, we're 2 years into that period. So how satisfied are you with the progress so far, and how realistic is it that we in 8 years' time we'll see all 28 on 2% or above? And if this is not reached within the next 8 years, what will it mean for NATO's capabilities to do more in relation to migration, ISIL, all the threats from the east, south, wherever it might be?
I think we have to remember that the heads of state and government decided in Wales 2 years ago to increase defense spending in three steps. first to stop the cuts, then to gradually increase defense spending, and then to aim at 2% within a decade. And we have to also remember that now we are only less than 2 years into that pledge. And after the two first years, we have seen that we have been able to stop the cuts, and we have been able to gradually increase defense spending. That's the total numbers. And of course, the picture is mixed. Some allies, and the majority, have started to increase, but some allies are still cutting. In total, if you add all that together, you see an increase among European allies and Canada. The United States is far above 2%. So we are moving in the right direction, and I'm glad to see that we have really turned the corner, meaning that after many, many years of decline, we have started to increase. Having said that, there is a long way, because we are in no way at 2%. And still some allies are cutting, and there is a long way to go. But I am encouraged by the progress I have seen. This has been my main focus since I arrived at NATO headquarters. I have discussed it in all capitals at least once, and I will continue to be extremely focused on defense spending. At the summit, this will be an issue at the summit. We will share figures and the facts with the heads of state and government and report back to them, but also, of course, in the months and years following the summit. I expect NATO to deliver, and NATO heads of state and government to do as they decided to do in Wales. And that's absolutely possible. It is within reach. And as I said, we have now started to move in the right direction after many years of decline.
Agence France-Presse in the first room.
Thank you, Secretary General. I have a question about the plan to declare an initial operational capability for the BMD system, the anti-missile shield. I understand some countries, and especially France, is asking for guarantees that this system will be completely under the political control of the 28 allies before this IOC is declared. Can you explain how these discussions are unfolding, and if you expect still a decision to be taken in Warsaw this week? Thank you.
Our aim is to be able to declare initial operational capability for our missile defense system at our summit in Warsaw. And we are working on that exactly now. And the missile defense system is important because we have seen proliferation of ballistic missiles, and NATO has to be able to defend our population and our territory against that kind of attacks. I think it is important once again to underline that this is not directed against Russia. It is directed against threats coming from outside the Euro-Atlantic area. And it is also important to remember that this is about missile defense. A missile defense is defensive. We speak about interceptors, which are able to intercept incoming missiles. And the interceptors are not offensive weapons. They don't carry armed warheads. They are only able to intercept incoming missiles. And the location and the physics makes it impossible for them to intercept Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles. Of course, command and control is important, and that's exactly what we now are looking into, how we can find ways to ensure the best possible command and control, taking into account that we have very little time to decide when we are in a really dangerous situation, when there is a possible attack. So we have to find ways of ensuring the necessary political control, the necessary tools of command and control, taking into account that if we really are attacked by ballistic missiles, we speak about a very short time to make the necessary decisions.
Agence Europe in the fifth row.
Jan Cordis, Agence Europe, Secretary General. About the NATO-Russia Council, are you disappointed that the meeting will take place only after the summit? How do you explain this decision? And could you tell us a little bit more about the agenda of the meeting? What do you expect from the Russia party? Thank you.
So we were ready to have a meeting before the summit, but we're also ready to have a meeting after the summit. And to be honest, it doesn't matter that much whether it takes place just before or just after the summit. The important thing is that it takes place. And we are now in a good dialogue with the Russians about the modalities and the agenda and the exact timing of the next meeting of the NATO-Russia Council. There has been no final agreement, but we have a good dialogue with them on these issues. And as soon as we decide on the agenda and the exact timing, we will announce the next meeting. I think and I believe that the NATO-Russia Council is a very useful and important tool because NATO very much believe in the idea of defense and dialogue. And we don't see any contradiction between strong defense deterrence and political dialogue. Actually, we believe that we need dialogue more now when we see increased tensions, more military activity, then the importance of political channels, political dialogue, but also military-to-military lines of communications are even more important. Therefore, we convened a meeting of the NATO-Russia Councils some weeks ago. We plan to have one shortly after the summit. One of the issues I believe should be addressed there is transparency, risk reductions, predictability, because we have seen more military activities, more some unsafe and unprofessional behavior, and with all the flights, all the military activity in the Baltic Sea, the Black Sea, and other places around NATO territory. It is important to avoid the kind of incidents and accidents we have seen with, for instance, the downing of the Russian plane over Turkey and also the busing of an American naval ship in the Baltic Sea recently. These are incidents and accidents which we should try to prevent. And if they occur, we should have mechanisms in place making sure that they don't spiral out of control and create really dangerous situations. So we're looking forward to have a new meeting in the NATO-Russia Council, also addressing the transparency risk reductions, exactly when that is going to take place, and the exact agenda is not yet decided.
Munyan, third row.
Thank you. Secretary General, please, can you give more details about NATO-Ukraine Commission during Warsaw Summit? What exactly is the agenda? What do you expect from Ukrainian and what NATO expects from NATO? Thank you.
First of all, I'm looking forward to welcoming President Petro Poroshenko once again to NATO headquarters. He will be there. He will update us at the meeting of the NATO Ukraine Commission, which we will have on the second day of the summit. And at that meeting, NATO and NATO allies will reiterate their strong political support to Ukraine for the territorial integrity, the sovereignty of Ukraine, and we will reiterate our strong support for the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. We have seen a number of violations of the ceasefire. We will call for a full respect of the ceasefire, but also that the international observers are allowed to work and to do their job in eastern Ukraine. To be able to monitor and to help implementing the Minsk agreements and the ceasefire. We will also step up our practical support, not only political support, but also practical support for Ukraine. And we will agree on a comprehensive package where we will streamline our different strands of work and support to Ukraine. This will include strategic advice and assistance. We are already providing practical support to Ukraine through our different trust funds, covering areas like command and control, logistic and cyber. But we will also then add new projects to the different activities under the trust funds. And we will add projects related to hybrid warfare, explosive devices, and strategic communications. So we will strongly provide political support, but we will also step up and increase our practical support with the agreement on the comprehensive assistance package for Ukraine.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, first round.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, Mr. Secretary General, how do you evaluate the progress made by Georgia? I mean the steps taken by Georgia and also by NATO since Wales, from your perspective, and also what should Georgia expect in Warsaw? You have just mentioned that it's important for the organization to help partners, and the partners should have the ability to resist outside pressure. What do you mean, and what risks do you see? Thank you.
We will have a meeting in the NATO Georgia Commission at the foreign ministerial level during our summit. And there we will express our political support, and again to the territorial integrity and independence of Georgia, but we will also discuss how we can provide practical support to Georgia. And I was present when we inaugurated the joint training center in Georgia some months ago, and I think that's a very good platform for providing practical support to Georgia. There is more NATO in Georgia now with trainers, with advisors, and we will help Georgia implement reforms, modernizing its defense structures and building defense institutions. So this is a meeting place where we will meet with the Georgian foreign minister and other representatives from Georgia, discussing how we can work together with a close partner. And I also like to commend Georgia for contributing troops, forces to different NATO operations, including to Afghanistan, one of the biggest force contributors to our mission in Afghanistan is, for instance, or is Georgia. The reason why we are, one of the reasons why we are stepping up our support and why we are providing support to Georgia, political support, practical support, why we have inaugurated the training center and why we are developing our cooperation in other ways, is to help Georgia increase their resilience, their capacity to resist outside pressure. So, of course, it is important for NATO to support Georgia because Georgia has seen a lot of pressure from outside, and we will continue to help them resist that pressure.
Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Secretary General, in Warsaw, the alliance is going to announce a pretty robust deterrence measure for the Baltic region, but it is a pretty non-robust initiative for the Black Sea region. I wonder, could you talk a little bit about why that is? Is that because of a different level of threat, or is it disagreements around allies that prohibited the flotilla idea from coming to fruition? Why the difference between the approach to the Baltic and the Black region?
Well, we have decided to have four battalions in the three Baltic countries and Poland, and then we have decided to have what we call a tailored presence for the southeast region, and that will be built around a Romanian brigade. But the thing is to turn this Romanian brigade into a multinational force. So the idea is to have also NATO forces from different allies being part of this tailored presence in the southeast, built around a Romanian brigade. and it will be under command of the multinational division Southeast, which is a multinational presence in Romania. So there is going to be a multinational NATO presence in the Southeast, in Romania, and we're going to make decisions on this at our summit. Moreover, we have already increased our presence in the Southeast with more air policing and with more naval presence in the Black Sea. Warsaw is not the end, so we will continue to assess, continue to adapt. And one of the areas where I see a need for continued adaptation is when it comes to our presence in the Black Sea region. So that will certainly be on our agenda also after after Warsaw.
Süddeutschen.
Secretary General, the German Foreign Minister has criticized the behavior of some within NATO and talked about saber rattling and warmongering. Is that towards Russia? Is that a concern that you share, a criticism that you share, or is that a comment that you have no understanding for?
I share the idea of that NATO has to both be strong, enhance our defense and deterrence, and at the same time strive for a more cooperative and constructive relationship with Russia. And that has been the message from me from the first day I arrived. That's the message from the whole alliance, and that's also the message from Germany being a staunch ally. And we have to adapt when the world is changing. NATO has to change, and that's exactly what we have done. We have strengthened our military presence as a response to Russia's behavior in Ukraine, but we have also continued to strive for more dialogue, more a more constructive and cooperative relationship with Russia. So therefore, I welcome that we were able to hold a meeting on the NATO-Russia Commission some months ago, and we will continue to convey a very clear message that NATO does not see confrontation. We don't want a new Cold War. What we do is proportionate. It's defensive, and I welcome that Germany has been contributing both to our enhanced collective defense. For instance, being one of the lead nations for our enhanced force presence, one of the battalions we will have in the east, but also that Germany has been a driver for dialogue and cooperation and striving for a more cooperative relationship with Russia. There is no contradiction. Germany is in favor of both, and I'm also in favor of both.
NPR, CBS.
Hi, thank you. Terry Schultz with NPR and CBS. First question on, you haven't been asked about Brexit yet.
No.
Let me be the first on America's birthday. No. Have you heard any concerns inside the alliance, and do you have any concerns that a new government in Britain may not be completely on board with the commitments of the Cameron government? And another part of the continent. Up in Finland on Friday, President Putin warned the Finns that if they were to join NATO, which we know is not quite on the table yet, nobody should think he would keep his troops 900 miles from the Finnish border. We've heard these things before with Sweden, with Denmark, when they were further integrating, so I'd just like to know what you think about this latest salvo. Thank you.
So Brexit will change the relationship between UK and the European Union, but it will not change UK's position inside NATO. UK will remain a strong and committed ally, and David Cameron and the government of UK has clearly stated that they will continue to be a committed ally, living up to all their obligations. And I am certain that also a new government in the United Kingdom will continue that line. This is important because the United Kingdom is a major provider of security in Europe and provider of security for the NATO alliance. UK accounts for roughly one quarter of defense spending among European NATO allies. And they have proven again and again that they are able to deploy forces to contribute with capabilities to different NATO missions and operations. And therefore, it is important to underline that UK's position in NATO is unchanged. What is changing is UK's relationship with the European Union. I think also it is of great importance to underline that we will step up our cooperation between NATO and the European Union. And we will do that at the Warsaw Summit, where President Tusk, President Juncker and I will sign a declaration on how we can develop, how we will strengthen NATO-EU cooperation. And the European Union is important for stability and security in Europe. The European Union contributes to stability and security in Europe. And NATO and the European Union, we are essential and unique partners, and we have to work even closer together, and that's exactly what we are planning to do. The other question was about Finland. It's up to the Finns to decide whether they want to apply for membership. And that's a basic fundamental principle, that every nation has the right to decide its own path, including what kind of security arrangements it wants to be part of. That is something NATO, NATO countries, NATO allies have signed to, and also Russia has signed to. And of course that also applies for, or is also valid for Finland. So it's up to Finland to decide. I will not give them any advice, and then if they apply, they will be such an application will be handled exactly the same way as any other application, and there is no way it will be fully absolutely unjustified if that creates any negative reactions from any other country, because that's a decision to be taken by Finland and NATO allies.
I still see a lot of hands up, so I would ask your colleagues if you can stick to one question, if at all possible. We'll go to Swiss media over there.
Yes, Secretary General Thomas Migliorina, Swiss Television. I'd like to stay on Brexit. I take it that the UK position in NATO doesn't change, but they are on their way out from the European Union, where they were the most vocal defendant of the need to avoid duplications and waste of resources. So is there any concern that with the with Britain on their way out, the situation might change? And how much can you actually discuss this, given the uncertainty about their next moves? Thank you.
I welcome any efforts by European countries to strengthen their defense capabilities. That will be good for Europe, for the European Union, and for NATO. I also welcome any efforts to strengthen defense cooperation between European countries. And in NATO, we have done a lot to, for instance, develop the concept of framework nations, where different nations are working together, sharing responsibilities and developing capabilities and capacities together. That's something I welcome. And again, that, and also defense industry developing capabilities. Again, this is good for all of us, for the European Union, for NATO, and for Europe. So the only thing I think that it is important to avoid is duplication. And NATO has structures, command structures, which are well-tested, well-trained over decades, and proven that we are able to deliver when needed. So therefore it is important that enhanced cooperation, defense cooperation between European countries adds value and that we avoid duplication. I believe that this is something that we all agree because we have scarce resources and we have to make sure that we use those resources in the best possible and most efficient way. And duplication will not be an efficient way of using limited defense resources.
Politiken.
Thomas Lauesen, Politiken. Just another follow-up on Brexit. Are you really saying that the fact that a key ally like Britain is going to leave the European Union does not affect in any way the prospect of further collaboration between the EU and NATO that you say is so important?
If anything, it just strengthens the needs for enhanced NATO-EU cooperation. And before we knew about the decision of the UK to leave the European Union, before we knew that, we actually have decided to make the Warsaw Summit and Warsaw a platform for enhanced NATO-EU cooperation. And that's exactly what we are going to do. And as I said, if anything, it increases the need for that kind of cooperation. But it was something we decided and planned even before. Because neither, both the European Union and NATO faces, we face together a new security environment with new threats, hybrid, terrorism, instability, and neither the European Union nor NATO possesses all the tools to respond. So therefore we have to work together on, for instance, countering hybrid threats and other challenges. And that's what we're going to do at the Warsaw.
Thank you very much, Secretary General. As you mentioned it in the Warsaw Summit, Afghan President and also Chief Executive also attend. It's very important summit for Afghanistan. As you know, the security situation in Afghanistan remains very dangerous. What message of support to the Afghan security force do you expect from Afghanistan, the Warsaw Summit? Thank you.
I expect actually three messages of support. One is that we will continue our rescue support mission beyond 2016, meaning that we will continue to train, assist, and advise the Afghan National Security Forces to strengthen their capability to fight terrorism in Afghanistan and to stabilize their own country. We don't believe that's an easy task, but we have seen that the Afghan security forces are professional, capable, and that they are fighting the terrorists in Afghanistan. And we will continue with our rescue support mission helping them. The second thing we will do is that we will make decisions on continued funding. I think that's extremely important. We made a decision back at our summit in Chicago, and now we will make a new pledge up to 2020, providing the financial funding for the Afghan National Army and Security Forces. And the third thing we will do is that we will develop our enduring partnership, the political cooperation, the cooperation with Afghanistan. And on all these three strands of work, we will see strong commitment from NATO and NATO partners, because there are many NATO partners contributing to the same efforts to continue to support Afghans. And again, I think this is important to understand that this is important for Afghanistan, but it's also important for us. Because we have seen the reason why NATO is in Afghanistan is that that was a response to a terrorist attack against the United States back in 2001, 9/11. So we are there because we wanted to fight terrorism. We wanted to prevent Afghanistan becoming a safe haven for international terrorism. And therefore we are in Afghanistan also to protect ourselves. Because everything we can do to project stability is also good for our own security.
GeoTV Pakistan.
Khalid Hamid Farooqi from GeoTelevision Pakistan. Secretary General, as my colleague suggested, the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan, but more worrisome, the tension between Afghanistan-Pakistan border, and particularly on Torkham, and bombing each other, and Pakistan's indication to expel within a 6 month millions of Afghan refugees as retaliations. How you see all this development, stability of Afghanistan is depend in the strong cooperation between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and also what's happening in tripartite commission in Kabul. Thank you.
I think the tensions and fighting we have seen on the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan just underlines the importance of political dialogue and measures to diffuse the tensions and to avoid these kinds of incidents and happening in the future. And therefore, I support the efforts of both the Afghan government and the Pakistani government to solve these problems with a political dialogue.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General. Given the fact that King Abdullah of Jordan will be in Warsaw and also a few Arab defense ministers, so what will be your proposal to them on the fight in general against terrorism and in particular against Daesh? We have seen now recent reports in the terrorist attacks in Jordan, in Turkey, Bangladesh, Baghdad, and today a foiled attempt in Jeddah. So what will be your essential message to them? Thank you.
Our message will be that we will step up our support for countries and forces in the region, strengthening their capability to stabilize their own countries, and to fight terrorism, ISIL. That's exactly what we are doing. That's actually what we are doing in Afghanistan, where we train national forces to fight terrorists, different terrorist groups in Afghanistan. That is what we are now doing when we train Iraqi forces. We do that in Jordan, but we will make decisions to then expand that into training of Iraqi officers in Iraq. That's what we do when we work with Jordan as a close partner, but also work with, for instance, Tunisia on issues like intelligence, developing the intelligence capabilities, but also special operation forces. And that's what we actually do when NATO is present in Turkey, with assurance measures, with AWACS planes and Patriot batteries augmenting the air defenses of Turkey. Because Turkey is the NATO ally most affected by the turmoil, the violence in Turkey, in Syria and Iraq. So one of the main messages from the Warsaw Summit will be that NATO will do more to fight terrorism, to fight instability, by working with partner countries in the wider Middle East region, North Africa, to enable them to fight terrorism, because we really believe that one of our best weapons in the fight against terrorism is to train local forces. I would also like to underline that we are working closely with several countries in the Gulf region, and we will soon inaugurate a new NATO center in Kuwait. I visited Kuwait recently, and I saw the construction of this center, and this center will be an important platform for regional cooperation between the Gulf countries and NATO, addressing, for instance, what we can do together to project stability.
Two very quick final questions here at Reuters over there, and then Swedish Radio, final question.
Thank you very much. Secretary General, you've been saying since, I think, February or March, that NATO will help the Europeans in the Mediterranean, and now at the summit you're saying again that it's going to happen, but could you give us a bit more detail? I mean, when will NATO ships actually be physically helping patrol that part of the central Mediterranean? Thank you very much.
That's exactly one of the issues we will make decisions on. We will make decisions on the transformation of our present presence in the Mediterranean, transforming our present operation Active Endeavour into a broader security mission. And I expect that to happen at the summit, the transformation of Active Endeavour into a broader security maritime operation. Exactly when we will deploy capabilities, it's too early to say. It may be ships, but it also may be, for instance, maritime patrol aircrafts, intelligence, and other capabilities. That depends partly on what's needed and on our dialogue with the European Union. But let me add that we are already present in the Mediterranean. We have the Active Endeavour, but we have our cooperation with the European Union in the Aegean. And that has been very successful. Together with the European Union, with Turkey, with the Frontex and the Greek Coast Guard, we have been able to cut the lines of illegal trafficking The number of crossings have gone from several thousands per day to close to zero. This is, of course, a part of a broader international effort, but NATO has contributed with 6-8 ships. It had varied a bit, but we have been present there. And I think that the NATO naval presence has been important, partly because we have given practical support to the local coast guards and navies, but also because we have provided a platform for enhanced cooperation between Turkey and Greece. So we are building on the good experience and the success we have had in the Aegean, and when we now are looking into what more we can do in other parts of the Mediterranean, including in the central Mediterranean.
And final question, Swedish Radio.
Hi, Jens Muller, Swedish Radio. As far as I understand, you have invited to a summit with 28 countries plus two. Why so? And from a NATO perspective, to what extent is it possible to even further the integration with partnership countries like Sweden and Finland without having them as members of NATO?
So we are inviting Finland and Sweden because Finland and Sweden are two of our very few enhanced opportunity partners. So Sweden and Finland are really close friends of NATO. And we invite close friends to dinner, and that's exactly what we're going to do at the dinner of heads of state and government on the first day, on Friday, where the Finnish president and the Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven are going to be present. And I'm looking forward to that because Finland are very close partners. We work together with them. They contributed many different NATO operations and missions, for instance, in Afghanistan. And of course, all issues related to security, stability in the Baltic Sea region, Finland and Sweden are important. So this is a cooperation which is to the benefit of Finland and Sweden, and it's a benefit for NATO and NATO allies. And then it's up to Finland and Sweden to decide whether they want more. This is only dinner.
And with that, we'll see you in Warsaw. Thank you very much.